Go out on Tuesday and just vote like crazy. You got to get out there. The world is watching. They're all watching.
Oh, yeah, they're watching, Mr. President. They're watching.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got a feeling there's something right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Up in Santa Barbara on 98.7 FM in San Diego and 93.7 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California on 99.5 FM. Up in Oregon on KYAQ on the Central Coast and Queso in Cottage Grove. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WLRI. In Maui, Hawaii on KAKU. Columbus, Ohio's 94.1 WGRN. Palinville, New York's WLPP. Grand Rapids, Michigan's WPRR. New Orleans, WHIV. Gallup, New Mexico's KNIZ, in Concord, New Hampshire on WNHN, in Fayetteville, Arkansas on KPSQ, in Seattle, Washington on KODX, Red Bluff and Redding, California's KFOI, Round Mountain, California's KKRN, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day of the week. On the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Workforce Rising, Detour Talk, and other fine affiliates, both terrestrial and internets. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me. From bradblog.com, thank you for joining us as we blanket planet Earth 5 days a week. It is Republican Congressional Appreciation Day, also says me. Desi Doyen, do you know why it's Republican Congressional Appreciation Day?
Actually, that one, no, I don't.
Well, this is the one day each year when I like to celebrate the one and only good thing that the GOP Congress under George W. Bush actually did. Now
yes.
You know what it is.
I think I
and
do.
That is changing daylight savings time, so it gets here a whole hell of a lot earlier. Thank you, Republicans in Congress during the George W. Bush administration. Other than that, I can't think of one damn thing that they did that we should thank them for. In all of those years, not kidding. Of course, if you feel differently, you can give me a call. We are live today in the studios here at beautiful KPFK, our flagship in Los Angeles. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. I hope to get to the phones a little bit later in the show. I do have a guest coming up momentarily, but then I hope to open up the phone lines if you'd like to ring in. As we discussed on Friday's show, on the supposed face-to-face meeting that Donald Trump leapt to agree to last week with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. There has been some waffling from the White House about it since he accepted the offer. And now it appears that there may not have actually been an official offer at all from North Korea. We'll try to get to some of that, some of the latest on that in a bit as well. But as I explained in detail on Friday's broadcast, I think that such a meeting, as ham-handed as the process has been and as wildly out of step with decades of U.S. foreign policy that it would be, I think such a meeting between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump is ultimately a good idea, if only because it makes it more difficult, in theory, for Donald Trump to launch a war against someone that he has actually met face-to-face. But we'll discuss that a little bit more in a bit, along with your calls, if you have any thoughts on it. If you want to get on in line now, it's 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. But first, we've got another special election on Tuesday. This one, a big one, a special U.S. House election in Pennsylvania's 18th Congressional District, the very conservative and highly gerrymandered suburban and sort of exurban rural areas south of Pittsburgh, where Republican Congressman Tim Murphy had represented the district for a long time, from 2003 up until his resignation in October of last year. after the married family values anti-abortion Republican was revealed to have had an affair with a woman that he appears to have recommended should receive an abortion. So that triggered his resignation. That resignation triggered Tuesday's U.S. special election. This very Republican district went to Donald Trump solidly by about 20 points back in 2016. But late polls now show conservative Democratic candidate Connor Lamb either tied or up by about two or three. I saw one poll today, even 6 points now above Republican candidate Rick Saccone in this deeply red district. Outside right-wing groups have been forced to dump some $10 million into the race in this district, which in normal years they otherwise should have been able to win handily. As voters head to the polls on Tuesday, Republicans are said to be very concerned now about the race, particularly after their brutal loss in the Alabama U.S. Senate race late last year, the beatdown they received in Virginia's gubernatorial race last year, dozens of losses of previously Republican state legislative seats to Democrats since Trump's election, and a number of very close calls in several other U.S. House special elections. Almost all of the votes on Tuesday in Pennsylvania will be cast on highly hackable, oft-failed, and most disturbingly, 100% unverifiable touchscreen direct recording electronic or DRE voting machines that are still shamefully used across most of the state of Pennsylvania. So whatever the results are announced to be on Tuesday night will likely stand as the results, no matter what they really are, no matter what the voters' intent actually was, and no matter how close or questionable those results turn out to be. So, you know, here at the broadcast, we like to say we are making the world safe for democracy, or at least we are trying to. We've been warning about those systems in Pennsylvania for God knows how many years. They've been using them for 15. I think we've pretty much been warning about them for at least that long. But, you know, sometimes it seems like one step forward and two steps back with this stuff. That's certainly the case in Georgia today, where after years of disasters with that state's 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems that were first implemented across the state back in 2002, when along with Maryland, they were the first state in the nation to move to such systems, which they are still using today and which are still as insecure and hackable and most disturbingly impossible to oversee, completely unverifiable. You can't even one vote cast on one of those systems cannot be verified. Out of the millions that have been cast on them since 2002, we can't verify that these machines have ever verified a single vote in any election for any candidate or initiative on the ballot that it's ever been accurately reflecting the voter intent. So finally, after years of electoral debacles in Georgia with these systems, including their recent admission that the state of Georgia's entire voting roll, its entire voting system, ballot programming files, and the administrative passwords for the system that they used in Georgia, that they've been using for 15 years, that all of that information was discovered to have been left online with no password protection just before the 2016 presidential election there. Completely unguarded for download by anyone. I could go on and on with the debacles and disasters in the state of Georgia with this touchscreen Diebold system, and I have, in fact, on this program, gone on and on over the past 15 years or so about it. But Georgia is finally now looking to move to a new voting system for the entire state after all of this mess. That is the good news. But that good news largely ends there at the moment. The state Senate in Georgia has now passed a bill to fund new computerized election systems, and that bill is being studied this week in the state assembly. It's being touted as a paper ballot bill, or a move to paper ballots, as the Atlanta Journal-Constitution initially and horribly misreported it. I know it sounds good. Oh, they're finally getting paper ballots in Georgia. This new system, if adopted by the legislature in Georgia, would replace the existing 100% unverifiable touchscreen direct recording electronic system, or DRE, with another 100% unverifiable touchscreen system known as a ballot marking device, or BMDs. Now, pay attention to what we're going to talk about here, because this is not just about Georgia. These ballot marking devices are a system which is also a touchscreen, but which prints out a computer-marked paper ballot, which is then tallied by an optical scan system. Now, never mind hand counting at the moment. These paper ballots are not even hand-marked by human beings. The computer does the marking, either marking it correctly or incorrectly. Who knows? After an election, there is no way to know that any of those computer-marked paper ballots actually reflect the intent of any voter. But these new devices are what Georgia lawmakers are deceptively describing as a move to paper ballots in the state, and they're ready to spend millions on them. To make matters worse, much worse, in fact, it is not just Republican-controlled Georgia that is moving to these types of devices, these BMDs, ballot marking devices, here in Los Angeles. That's right, here in Los Angeles, the largest voting jurisdiction in the country, by the way, LA County. It's larger on its own, I believe, than 32 or 39 states or something, just LA County alone. Here we are too, moving from hand-marked paper ballots that we currently use now to computer-marked BMDs before the 2020 presidential election, according to the LA County Registrar Recorder Dean Logan. And many other states and jurisdictions are also looking towards the move to these unverifiable BMDs in places like Georgia, as I said, and LA County, as I said, but also Texas and Tennessee and many other states are looking to Georgia and Los Angeles to see if they too want to move to such a system, to see how they go here. Some have already done so. Six counties in Texas. Last week, during the first in the nation 2018 primaries, just last Tuesday, they used the ES&S Express Vote ballot marking device computers in those races in six different counties, I'm told. A number of counties in Tennessee are already using it. And ES&S, which is the largest private voting vendor in the nation, is said to be selling the same system now to West Virginia. But the computer-marked paper ballot problem is only part of this problem. In fact, it's even more troubling than that. On both the ES&S system I mentioned and another one that's being made by Dominion Voting and by the one that is being publicly developed here by Los Angeles County. To discuss all of this after writing about just some of the dangers of these BMDs today at bradblog.com in an article headlined, Latest Threat to Democracy, Barcodes, Ballot Marking Devices, a.k.a. Electronic Pencils, is Jennifer Cohn. She's an attorney and election integrity advocate from San Francisco, from the Bay Area. She graduated from UCLA and Hastings College of Law. As an attorney, she has covered insurance coverage and appellate law and has practiced for more than 20 years as an attorney. But since 2016, she has devoted her professional efforts full time now towards investigating our insecure election system and potential solutions to it. Jenny Cohn, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you joining us today, Jenny. And thank you for this fantastic article that you ran at bradblog.com today. I want to talk about your specific concerns about BMDs. But since you're sort of new, in a sense, to the election integrity fight, I got to say, I've been following your work for the past year or so, and you have dug deeper than just about anybody I know into the deep, deep archives on election integrity and transparency issues that we have been covering at bradblog.com for all of these years. And you've been looking at other sites as well, lawsuits, academic papers, congressional testimony on all of this, all of which, I should say, none of which has received the attention that it deserves over the past 15 years. Suddenly now, folks like yourself seem to be concerned about it all. Now that Donald Trump reportedly won the 2016 election, before we get to the specifics of your article and your concerns about BMDs, why and how did you become an what we call an EI advocate, election integrity advocate, and a citizen journalist on this stuff over the past year or so?
Well, two things coincided more or less at the same time. Number one, I was not working anymore as an attorney. I was a partner in a small law firm, and I'd left about 3 years before. Mm-hmm. I have young kids, and so I had time.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I became concerned about after the 2016 election, and someone on social media on Twitter had asked if anyone had time to research the voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
Candidly, I wasn't particularly interested when I decided to do it, but I thought I could help. I have pretty good research skills, having practiced law so long. And immediately, I was struck by the chasm between how the media and most election officials have assured the public that the situation with our machines, or at least they did at the time, and they still really are,
mm-hmm.
have assured the public that the situation is not that bad, and the discrepancy between that and what the IT community that has studied elections seems mm-hmm. to say. In particular, an example of that is the notion that we have often heard, mostly from election officials, that it would be very difficult for a hacker to use the internet to alter election tallies.
Mm.
And according to the IT experts, and they explain it quite well, that just simply isn't true. The air gap mm-hmm. between the voting machine and the internet is certainly not sufficient to prevent tampering with the tallies, because there is other election equipment involved in the process that takes those tallies or that is related to those tallies, and that could be an avenue for hackers to interject malicious code that could affect the tallies.
Yeah, there was, even in the run-up to the 2016 election, you had Barack Obama out there saying, well, we don't have to worry because our systems are, A, they're decentralized, and B, they're most of them are not hooked up to the internet. But that avoids the serious concern that computer scientists and security experts have, that yes, they are all connected to the internet in that all of these computers are programmed in some fashion on computers that are connected to the internet. And if they're connected to the internet, then any virus or malware can get onto those the jump drives that they use to then stick into the voting systems and the tabulators, because they have to program each and every election, the ballots every year. And people don't seem to understand that. It's quite frustrating, Jenny.
Yes, it's pretty frustrating. And then I would also hear things that seem just blatantly false on their face from the election officials, that it would be really difficult to alter for hackers to alter the outcome of an election, in part on that notion that our systems are so decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, maybe they're decentralized in that certain counties, different states have technically different systems, and maybe the counties don't have to have the exact same systems. But in a bigger sense, they really aren't, because what I discovered is that there are just two major mega vendors, ES&S and Dominion,
mm-hmm.
that, according to a recent Wharton report,
mm-hmm.
they account for somewhere between 80 and 90% of all U.S. election equipment.
Yep.
And so I don't consider that to be particularly decentralized.
Private vendors controlling our public elections. But, here in L.A. County, our registrar has been very proud of the process over the past few years, that he has been developing a system that will be made supposedly by L.A. County itself, or at least contracted by L.A. County, that is one of these ballot marking devices that I talked about in the intro there, and that they're moving
right
towards for the state of Georgia. So what is what is the problem as you see it, Jennifer Cohn, with barcodes or QR codes? Those are the square ones, I think, that they're going to be using out here in Los Angeles on our ballots. What's the problem that you see with these computer printed? Hey, they're paper ballots, aren't they? But they're computer printed, and they include barcodes and QR codes. What are your major problems with these BMDs as you see them?
Well, because as an attorney, I'm used to researching things, I immediately took to researching that. Mm-hmm. The alarm had already been sounded for me by another election integrity advocate, Marilyn Marks, who, mm-hmm. as you know, is very involved in the situation in Georgia where they're thinking of moving to such a barcoded ballot yep. marking device system.
Mm-hmm.
So I researched it, and I found an article which explained that experts are beginning to express quite a bit of concern about the notion of barcodes and ballots. And I think that the quote from the article was that barcodes and ballots could give hackers a chance to rewrite results in ways that could not be traceable. So that is a serious concern, that printouts from these ballot marking devices, mm-hmm. at least from the two most popular ones, which are the ESNS Express Vote and the Dominion, I think it's called ImageCast,
mm-hmm.
both of them produce these printouts which have a barcoded portion and then a summary that supposedly represents the voter's selections. But it's the barcoded portion that is then counted by the optical scanners, and apparently that is, according to the experts, a real risk.
What,
related to that,
yeah.
the concern that I have is that it experts have recommended, 100 experts wrote a letter to Congress last year recommending paper ballots, ideally hand-marked paper ballots, and optical scanners.
Mm-hmm.
So the optical scanners are already a hackable device, and if you add the ballot marking devices, these electronic pencils, on top of that, you are doubling the number of vulnerable mm-hmm. electronic computers that you're using in any given election. So even putting hacking aside, you're doubling the chances of computer glitches, of paper jams, because not only does the optical scanner have to receive the mm-hmm. printout or ballot, but the ballot marking device itself, you have to put a paper into it before it generates the printout for you. So that's a problem. And then on top of it, they not only double the number of potential glitches and the potential for just out-and-out hacking,
mm-hmm.
but because they produce these computer-marked printouts or ballots are coming from a computer, there's the possibility of vote flipping. And along with that, because of that possibility, whether it's due to something nefarious or due to a glitch,
mm-hmm.
it requires voters to take this extra step called verification, which means that they have to then go over the printout to make sure their votes weren't flipped, or some of their selections weren't flipped,
mm-hmm.
or some of them weren't omitted entirely. And this is very similar to the situation that we've seen over the past 15 years with another touchscreen voting machine, direct record electronic, that
right.
generate voter verifiable paper audit trails,
mm-hmm.
which have really fallen into disfavor, in part because studies have shown that voters rarely even look at the voter verified paper audit trails.
Yep.
There was a Las Vegas study that showed that less than 40% of voters even check them at all. There's no reason to think that would be any different with computer-generated printouts from a ballot marking device.
And let me, before you go on, Jenny, let me just underscore a few of the points that you made there, because I think they're really important, and I've been trying to get some of these across to people, but they hear paper ballots and they think, okay, we're cool, we're safe, no worries. First, these systems that have barcodes printed onto the ballot, that barcode, that non-human readable barcode or QR code, whatever they use, that can't be read by human beings, that, in theory, is what the optical scanners are going to read. Not the stuff that is the selections for candidate A, for candidate B, for Proposition 15 and 60, whatever. That stuff may be printed on the ballot. The voter may look at that information and see that, okay, those are the candidates I voted for. But that's not the information that is actually counted by the computer systems that determine the result. They actually read that unreadable, unhuman readable barcode or QR code instead. Correct?
Right. Yes, correct. And in that sense, they're very similar to DREs.
Now, would you feel any better about these systems if they did not read the unverifiable barcodes, but instead they used computer-printed selections rather than hand-marked selections? But they use computer-printed selections that supposedly the voter has specified and then checked before depositing the ballot in the box. In other words, if they use the names of the candidates or a little oval that was filled in next to the name of the candidate, but not filled in by the voter, filled in by the computer, would you feel any better about computer systems like that? Because I have to underscore, this is not just Republicans in Georgia that are moving very quickly to these systems all across the country. It's here in LA and elsewhere. Would that make you feel any better if they didn't read the barcodes, if they just read the computer printed, computer marked paper ballot instead?
It would make me feel only marginally better, so not better enough. The reason being, again, they're too similar to what we've seen with voter verifiable paper audit trails, mm-hmm. where the Las Vegas studies show that most people don't actually check them. So and especially if you don't have election officials on election day telling people to check them, there's a very high possibility that it won't even occur to voters to check them. And then on top of it, there's a very good chance that when they read them, even if they do check them, they're not going to notice if there's a flip.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because there was a Rice University study of review screens, actually, mm-hmm. which it was a study of review screens, and it showed that 60%, so the majority of voters, did not notice when their votes were flipped.
So that was like a summary at the end of the voting that was shown to them on the screen, which is easier to read often than paper, shown to them on the screen. And 60% of the time, of those who did bother to check it, 60% of the time they didn't notice when the computer had actually flipped their vote?
That's right. And it's actually easy to understand why that's the case, because when you're looking at a summary of your selections after the fact, you might remember pretty well the very top of the ticket, who you voted for president and such. But ballots often have many different items on them and referendums, and as you go further down the ballot, you may not remember off the top of your head the names of the people that you voted for. You may have used a cheat sheet, you may have not, but it requires you to rack your brain in a way that a hand-marked paper ballot simply doesn't. So it adds this extra step that may very well tax people's memories, especially when a lot of people are waiting behind them in line and getting impatient. Really the kicker for all of this is there is a scientist or a professor from MIT named Ted Selker,
mm-hmm.
who, when VVPATs first came out, he was quite concerned with them.
Those are the little paper trails that come out of some of the touchscreen systems, like the ones they use up in Nevada and so forth, those that you're supposed to be able to verify, but nobody ever does. But yeah, go ahead.
Right, and I'm saying these are very similar to the computer printouts from a ballot marking device. And what he found, he watched 100 voters, and of the 500 voters, and of those 500, less than 1 in 10 were willing to start the process over when they were even expressly told that there was a problem with their ballot. So, again, the bottom line being that even if these print anything that is supposed to be voter verifiable, mm-hmm. but isn't a hand-marked paper ballot, which sort of self-verifies as you mm-hmm. write it out by hand,
right.
There's a very good chance that even if someone reviews it, which is unlikely, and even if they find errors, which is unlikely, that they won't want to do anything about it because they've been waiting in line, there are people behind them, and it's just too much trouble.
And we can't, ultimately, we can't know if they checked it at all, if they did see a problem, but they, as you say, Jenny Cohn, they didn't want to go back. They thought it was their fault. They were embarrassed about it, or they just didn't have time, because if it's, in a presidential election, sometimes they're standing in line already for a couple of hours before you get to vote. And as you note, Jenny, you cite the instance that I personally had on one of these systems in 2008 here in LA County that was created for disabled voters. And I tried to use it, this audio voting system that prints out my ballot. And to my shock and surprise, it misprinted 4 out of 12 of my votes in this statewide primary back in 2008. And I can tell you personally, I studied that ballot after it printed out for, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, trying to figure out, was this my fault? Did I screw it up? I was embarrassed. I didn't want to go back and show it to anybody, you know, before I finally said, okay, there's a problem here. I'm going to, you know, figure out what happened. And we later learned that it was, in fact, a misprogrammed computer that misprinted 4 out of 12 of my votes here in Los Angeles County.
So exactly.
It's not a theoretical thing. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying it's not a theoretical thing. I can tell you firsthand it has happened to me, and yet we are going to these systems here in Los Angeles County before the next presidential election for millions. I don't know. What are we, 14 million voters or something like that here in L.A.?
I don't know how many voters are in L.A., but yes, Georgia and L.A. County, and you mentioned a few other places, are starting to push this, and what's just so stunning to me is that we have just been through a 15-year crisis of election integrity with DRE touchscreen machines.
Yep.
And the analogies between those touchscreens and these ballot marking device touchscreens is so obvious, and yet it seems to be flying under the radar, and no one seems to have learned from our experience with ballot marking devices. I wouldn't have even known about this issue, frankly, if you hadn't first called it to my attention. And Georgia is, they're expecting some kind of pat on the back and victory dance if they get this new legislation passed that would allow these ballot, unnecessary, except perhaps for people who can't hand mark ballots, but these otherwise unnecessary touchscreen ballot marking devices to be used by the state of Georgia because they have some paper involved, as if all paper is equivalent and as if it didn't add in yet another type of touchscreen device when we've just had so much trouble.
It was
touchscreen devices.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
It is, and it's disturbing, and, you know, it's taken me years to get people to stop using the word paper trail and start using the word paper ballot, and now it's been years I'm trying to get people to not use the word paper ballot but use hand-marked paper ballots because
it's
you even have—
an enormous learning curve.
It is, and you've been on that curve.
It's an enormous learning curve to get people to say, yes, paper ballots, and then you have to refine that further to hand-marked paper ballots, and— whether we can get enough people educated and enough people, sort of influencers in the media and elsewhere educated, is a question, but that sort of has become my quest, and I'm certainly not the only one. You were at this long before I was, and advocates like Marilyn Marks as well, but it's just it still is not getting the type of attention from the media, which frankly is still really underplaying the risk.
Oh, yeah. They see the words paper ballots and they're done. And the fact is, you know, it's not entirely their fault because a lot of election integrity advocates, including Democrats and groups like Common Cause and Verified Voting. And like I say, L.A. County is not exactly a bastion of Republicans here. They have been advocating for systems like this, these computer marked paper ballots, for years, and, you know, I've been asking for years, is there something that they understand that you and I don't? I don't think they do. Jennifer Cohn, I'm going to point people towards your great piece. It's really simple for even, you know, the beginning election integrity advocates, laymen, to understand at bradblog.com, headlined, Latest Threat to Democracy, Barcodes and Ballot Marking Devices, a.k.a. Electronic Pencils. I know you've been on a tough learning curve, and Jenny, you're doing a fantastic job and an important service to our country. So I wanted to thank you for that, and I will look forward to more of your coverage at bradblog.com and on the Twitters.
Thank you so much, Brad. This was fun.
You can find Jenny Cohn yourself, and you should, on her very lively Twitter feed. She is at Jenny Cohn 1. That's the number one. Jenny Cohn 1 on Twitter. Follow her there. We need to take a quick break here and we'll come back. Some of you folks are calling in with the thoughts and questions on some of this. I also want to talk about North Korea if I can. Our phone number is 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. I'm Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradvlog.com with you here. I want to get to some of the callers in a moment here, but on Friday's show, I detailed how, though Trump seems to have thought he was the first U.S. president to have a North Korean leader agree to come to the negotiating table, the fact is that the North has been trying to get such a face-to-face meeting with an American president for years, for decades, in fact. And if this meeting actually happens that Trump leapt to agree to, it will likely be seen, or at least characterized, by North Korea as a great victory. A great victory for the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. He'll be seen on equal footing with the president of the United States. Now, that said, while many Democrats have been very critical of Trump for agreeing to this meeting since the story broke late last week, and as they seem to worry that Trump doesn't know what he's doing, which he doesn't, and that he'll make a bad deal on behalf of the U.S., which he very well could, I am still personally fine with all of that because I think, or I'd like to hope, that it's actually more difficult to bomb the hell out of someone after you've actually met them in person. And I think, therefore, it cannot hurt in that we, the United States, and perhaps selfishly those of us out here on the West Coast, that we will be safer, at least in the short term, or at least as a possibility of it, even if we end up with a bad long-term geopolitical deal for the U.S. And if we can avoid another new war, much less a potential nuclear conflagration that could be launched by this madman, and I'm talking about Donald Trump here in this case, if we can avoid that, anything that might avoid that, I would say that's a good thing. So I explained that in detail why, due to the crazy man in our White House that we are dealing with, essentially a madman with a gun, as I described it on Friday's show, you can download it at bradblog.com. That madman with the gun would be Donald Trump in this case. That with that, anything that we can do to get the gun out of the crazy man's hands will keep us all safer. But I'd love your thoughts on that. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-5735. Do you believe a face-to-face meeting right now between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un is a good thing? If so, why? If not, why not? And by the way, will this meeting ever actually happen? The White House has already been wobbling about this on Friday. As it turns out, Trump was so eager to jump to accept this invitation, he immediately accepted it, even though apparently there was no actual formal invitation at all from Kim Jong-un. Just a message that was passed through the South Korean officials who had been meeting with Kim in Pyongyang last week, a message that he'd like to meet at some point with Donald Trump, which Trump seems to have taken as an official invite. Boy, just, you know, anything to distract from his woes. anyway, love your thoughts on that. 818-985-5735. If you have any, Twitter, Lori on Twitter tweeted me at the Brad blog to say, I'm totally on the same wavelength with your theory on this whole meeting thing. Let the narcissists disarm each other with their little charm and flattery session. That sounds good to me. Be nice to him, Kim, and Donald Trump will do anything for you if you're nice to him. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. My thanks again to Jenny Cohn for helping us to begin to understand. And I'm going to continue on this path because people need to understand where we are going. And it is not a good thing with these ballot marking devices, these BMDs, these unverifiable electronic pencils. It is not a good thing. 818-985-5735. It's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It's coming here to L.A., at the same time that it looks to be going to Georgia, and it's already in Texas and Tennessee and moving to West Virginia and elsewhere. And I've spoken with Democrats. Congressman Rush Holt years ago told me, Brad, I would love if every voter in America voted on a ballot marking device. And he was a rocket scientist, literally. Let me get to some calls. Bob in Gardena. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Bradcast.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for the call. Sure. I fully agree with the lady who talked about narcissism, and it might save millions of lives. But he was right about one thing. It is a rigged system, And that's how he got in power. And that's how the nation keeps going to the right, to fascism, whatever you want to call it. And they're both on the same team, basically, Democrats and Republicans. I hope the lefties can wake up and realize that.
You had me, Bob, until you said they're both on the same team and that they're both doing the same thing. I agree that Democrats are often a disaster. They're certainly a disaster in this case when it comes to election integrity. But I think it's really lazy to say that they're both the same. They are not. One of them, I believe, is evil. The other one, I believe, is scared and lazy and frightened.
There's enough Democrats on the same team, and Obama's a good example, and they get enough votes to stay with the right, stay on the right side, and in that sense, there's enough of them on the same team. You would have changes in your ballot system if the Democrats did anything about it. When they had power, they didn't do anything about it.
Well, they tried to. They were blocked repeatedly. They were blocked. Now, that said, what they were trying to do was not good, was push these BMD systems. They think these are more verifiable. They are wrong, and they're not listening to the computer scientists. But I take your points on all of the above, Bob, and I appreciate that call very much. Let me go to David in Irvine. Hey, David, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, this is first-time caller.
Thank you, sir.
And I have a computer science degree from MIT and a master's from UCI, and I've worked in cryptography. And you really, everyone needs to use number two pencils on optical forms, okay, so that they're traceable. And they can be scanned. That's great. You get your results really fast. But you do not trust the computers, okay?
Of course, I agree, except for the scanned part. Yeah, they can be scanned if you must, but, you know, those scanners can also be gamed in the same way, as you know, David.
Absolutely, but you have the paper records.
Right.
And the paper records don't require any authentication. They don't require anything except that the person, when I went to the voting booth.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't bother with the voting booth. I vote by mail, so my vote almost never counts.
Well, what makes you think your vote doesn't count because it's by mail?
Because usually the margins are larger than the vote by mail margins.
My
vote would count if you were close. And by the way, I voted for the first time for someone who got elected, even though my vote in California didn't count. I'm admitting to being a Trump voter, but I'm really a libertarian. But my point is, use paper records. Paper and pencil are really clear to everyone. You don't need to understand touch screens. Touch screens can be confusing.
Yep.
Okay. These records that you're talking about, where you play with a touch screen and then it prints something out.
Yep.
No.
That's where
you fill out with number two pencil on a little blob. Okay.
Yep.
Just like you did in kindergarten. Okay.
Well, I hope folks here, and David, I got to get to some other calls. I appreciate it. I hope folks here in L.A. County hear what you're saying, because the largest voting jurisdiction in the nation, larger than 32, 38, 39 states, I don't know, is about to go to these systems, and as is the rest of the country. We need hand-marked paper ballots. One other point for David is that, in fact, just to be clear, so people don't misunderstand, every vote is counted. Whether it's counted accurately or not, that's a separate issue. But whether you cast a vote by mail or not, it is all counted, not only in close elections. As a matter of fact, in most places, those vote-by-mail ballots are actually counted before the election day ballots. So vote-by-mail ballots are all counted. They do matter. Provisional ballots, if you're forced to cast one of those for some reason, because your name doesn't show up on the voting rolls for some reason, those are also counted if you can be verified as a legitimate registered voter. So just trying to clarify some of these things, because apparently it all matters. People don't seem to understand these things, no matter how many years I beat everyone over the head with them here on the broadcast. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. One more call before the break here. Susan from Redondo Beach. Hey, Susan, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Brad. There are a couple of things. I couldn't agree with you more on certain things, except I do believe the Democrats and Republicans are kind of equally bought off, and therein lies the problem. But you know, I've listened to results in elections in other countries,
mm-hmm.
where they're hand-counted paper ballots and they wait for the election results.
Yeah.
You know, if we have to go back and verify everything, we still have to wait for the real result. So, and I know I would rather wait for the election result and know that it was an accurate, fair election. And I think that would be true for the majority of Americans.
And to be clear, Susan, we don't have to wait. In New Hampshire, where about 40% of the towns, they count by hand at the polling place, publicly count by hand at the polling place on election night. Most of those towns are done before the optical scan, the Diebold optical scan town. So if you're counting precinct by precinct publicly and posting the results before the ballots move anywhere, that's the democracy's gold standard, and you don't have to wait for that. And I should further add, sort of in response also to David, you know, we had paper ballots in Michigan, in Wisconsin after the 2016 presidential election. We had hand-marked paper ballots in most of both of those states. And we still couldn't get a count, despite how close it was, despite the questions about that election. So that's why I think we need to get it right on election night, as I frequently say.
Hand-counted paper ballots. And by the way, around him being he's not just a narcissist, he's a sociopath. And so I agree that they should meet, but there are two things. One, I think there needs to be some supervision, because as somebody calls him on my Facebook notices I get, they call him man baby.
Yeah. And which one, Susan, Trump or Kim?
I've been a therapist for 25 years.
All right.
Well, he was a narcissist and he's a sociopath and diagnosable on both counts. And so it's not just that you have to be nice to him. It takes brown nosing flattery of the highest order.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that call. And I would say that all of those descriptions of the man baby, which one's she talking about? Donald Trump or Kim Jong-un? You can't tell anymore. Whenever I talk about a madman with nuclear arms, I used to be talking about Kim. Now I am much more concerned about Donald Trump than I am, frankly, about Kim Jong-un. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more of your calls. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, taking your calls at 818-985-5735. Senator Dianne Feinstein on Monday ripped Donald Trump's plan to harden schools against armed attacks, saying that he caved and his pledge to back tougher gun laws is hollow. Trump, she said, has completely caved to the gun lobby. To no one's surprise, the president's words of support for stronger gun safety laws proved to be hollow, she said. The White House unveiled its school and gun safety proposals on Sunday in response to the Florida shooting in Parkland on Valentine's Day. The proposal did not call for comprehensive background checks for gun purchases. It did not call for raising the age to buy a rifle from 18 to 21, two positions that Trump had previously indicated he had supported. Feinstein added on Monday that arming teachers is an utterly ridiculous idea. She said she accused Trump of aligning his priorities with ideas that were endorsed by the gun lobby. She said responding to the murder of 17 students and educators by endorsing the gun lobby's platform is a shameful abdication of the president's responsibility to lead. Shame on you, Mr. President, she said. Trump had initially voiced support for those ideas, like raising the purchase of firearms to 21 years of age. Senior executives, however, from the National Rifle Association had reportedly asked the president at a lunch just a few days later to reconsider his position on the idea, and that came after a televised meeting with lawmakers in which Trump mocked Senator Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania, when he had hesitated at that proposal, telling him, quote, "You're afraid of the NRA. Well, now Donald Trump appears to be afraid of that same NRA. Let me get to back to the calls, 818-985-5735. Our friend Morris, as ever, in Long Beach. Hey, Mo, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, praise God, there's an alternative to the military media complex, huh?
Yep.
Hey, listen to this, Brad. Here's what we're going to do.
Right.
You've heard of Occupy Wall Street?
Yes, sir.
We're going to storm the county board of supervisors. We want the kids to come out with their skateboards and their bicycles, get the old people to come out with their wheelchairs and their canes, and get the farmers to bring the hogs and the chickens. Then we're going to get us a bullhorn, put Jenny's cone up there, let her be talking, and we're going to get the World Council of Churches to serve as a security for her. What do you think, Brad?
I'm down with that, Mo. Who's going to be organizing that? Because I'm kind of busy every day on the air. You in charge?
Well, that's why I didn't want to put you out there, Brad, because I figured if they started doing some arresting, right, I figured we could sacrificial, we could let Jenny go, but you got a show to do, but I'll give that some thought and I'll get back with you.
All right, well, listen, I think it's a great idea, except for the having to sacrifice Jenny to jail, but other than that, no, listen, we have to speak up. We have to respond. I've had Dean Logan, the LA County clerk, on the show to talk about this, to try to help people understand. But it's very confusing. It's very difficult to understand. And people don't understand that, you know, these are going to be unverifiable votes. And they tend to only worry about it after they've lost an election, after their chosen candidate has lost, and then they start asking questions about the voting system. Hey, people, by then it is too late.
You got that right. Brad, isn't Diebold still in the business?
Who?
Diebold.
Diebold. Yeah, Diebold. Actually, no, they're still in the business of ATMs, but not voting. So they sold off their voting systems. And so they've been essentially taken over by sort of two companies, ES&S and Dominion. Those are the two largest voting systems. By the way, Dominion is a Canadian company. A Canadian company, that's right, runs the bulk of U.S. elections.
Behave yourself, Brad. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill. Am I right here? Bill in Lake Elsinore. Welcome to the broadcast, Bill.
Thank you, Brad.
Yep.
So this thing all about the technology is you don't doubt technology, it's the human element. Because Diebold and those bank computers, mm-hmm. you know, we know how secure those are, how reliable those are, they're sound.
No, they're not, Bill. Actually, we covered a story a couple of weeks ago. There's something called jackpotting, and all over the world, they have figured out how to hack the ATM, so they literally spew out cash from them. That said, go ahead.
Okay. I would normally trust and rely on corporate computers
mm-hmm.
and safe sound systems, which would be simply to install. Okay, with that, however, I spoke to the U.S. ambassador to Japan,
mm-hmm.
and well, serious conversation about Kim Jong-un and Korea, yep. how they're not a threat to not one person on this continent, on this side of the earth. And as far as Trump and Kim Jong-un, Trump's just let's forget it. He's just a figurehead. He's a moniker, a brand for the communications industry. Does that make sense?
Sort of, yeah. But he's also a danger and a menace to the planet, as I see it, Bill.
Because the blowhard, he's just going on and on. It's always just something just to get, you know, ratings and sensational attention.
Yeah, well, but you know what's not? No, it's not just to get ratings. His EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, has been killing one environmental protection after another, and we are headed towards it. You live out here in California. Surely you have noticed what's going on our planet here. And this cannot be undone once global warming and the climate crisis truly kicks in. So I'm with you in general, but I think you may underestimate the dangers of Donald Trump and the national emergency that I consider us to be in. Appreciate the call, Bill. Let me go to have time for one or two more? Sure. 818-985-5735. Let me go to Michael in Newport Beach. Hey, Michael, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, yeah, I just, this is hard for Democrats and people on the left to ever comprehend or swallow, but with Fox News and O'Reilly and all those people every day, they are our enemy. And until we just don't even have an idea of where the hatred they have for for our side of the aisle, if you want to call it that. The left is going to, we're just like the voting thing. I mean, we're not going to cheat. We know that. But until we have this mentality of, and I'm not calling cheat, I'm just saying until we realize what we are up against, because
yep.
this is going to get, and you allude to, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to get ugly. And it's too bad. I'm an old white guy. I have actually voted for a Republican before. But these people now, I tell you, it ain't good. It ain't pretty.
It ain't pretty at all, Michael. And I appreciate the call and I appreciate the thought. And, you know, whether anyone cheats, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, anybody else, whether there are errors that are happening in the programming, you need a public system that can be overseen by we the people so everyone knows that no one has cheated, so everyone knows that there has not been errors in the programming. That's what it's about. It's not we're not about trusting in our elections. Elections and democracy is not about trust. It is about oversight. And that's what we're fighting for right here every day on the broadcast. And we will do it again tomorrow on the broadcast. I hope you will join me then. Until then, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to my soundboard operator today, D'Angelo Jones, to my guest, Jenny Cohn, and to you for joining us for a portion of your day or night. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com, and on the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am simply The Brad Blog. That's it. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.